Jonah, the reluctant prophet, prophet who had a great capacity, brought about the whole conversion of a pagan city of 120,000 people. Jonah, the great prophet, but reluctant and angry. It's funny, God says to him, "Have you reason to be angry?" And Jonah walks away. He doesn't even answer him over the conversion of the city, over God relenting from the punishment that he had threatened upon the city. Since Jonah will not answer God, God must put another situation for him. And so he gives him this little gourd plant that grows up and provides him with shade. The next day the plant dies. And Jonah again is asking for death. He's very kind of a fickle person, Jonah, very, very pendulum swings, one extreme, the other. Very happy little plant. Now it's gone. Might as well be dead. I wonder if the psychologist would diagnose him as having a bipolar disorder in this moment. Again, the Lord asks him, have you reason to be angry over the plant? It's the same question that he asked him about the city, but now he asks it about the plant. But this time, Jonah has an answer. See, God has made it tangible and concrete enough where he can get the answer from Jonah that he was wanting to hear. An answer, a truthful answer. What's going on in your heart, Jonah? Why are you angry? I have every reason to be angry, he says. Angry enough to die. So then God puts it into perspective. Over a little plant, you are angry enough to die. He says, this plant came about without you doing anything. And what we then hear is God's heart revealed for these pagan people. Not the people of Israel. Not his chosen ones, not the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which he has manifest his great love for them. But we see in this God manifesting his love for others. And even more so, as he describes his love for them, he says this is a people, 120,000, who cannot tell their right hand from their left. It's very insulting, don't you think? But what the Lord is making clear, he's like, I have revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have given to them my commandments and my law. I have revealed myself that they would have wisdom and understanding. These people have not had that revelation. I still care for them. One day they will receive the fullness of revelation. Through my people Israel, they will come to know the fullness of truth of who I am. And they will worship me in spirit and truth. But until that day, my heart is still concerned for them. In their ignorance, they do these things. I asked the third graders today, how do we know that God loved the Ninevites? Because he sent a prophet to them to warn them. And he is merciful and compassionate. And God is not just the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their descendants, but he is Father to all. Which brings us to the gospel text. We have the version of the Our Father given to us in the Gospel of Luke, not Matthew. Matthew is the one that we're more familiar with and all of its parts. Luke is much more simple. But we still see the same thing in it. We see that when we pray this prayer, we pray it in the plural. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we forgive those, everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test. How odd would the Our Father sound? Give me each day my daily bread, and forgive me my sins. For I myself forgive everyone in debt to me, and do not subject me to the final test. Everything about that prayer would be fine, but it is not how Jesus taught us to pray. And the recognition of the plurality of the Our Father, even more clear in Matthew, our Father, not my Father who art in heaven, our Father. A reminder that we are all brothers and sisters. Guys, every time you pray the Our Father, you're praying for other people. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Not just yourself. You offer that prayer as a member of a family. So it is a good reminder to us, my brothers and sisters. It is a good reminder of the love that abides in the heart of our Heavenly Father for us, for the people that we love, for the people that we don't love as we should. His heart possesses great mercy and love for all. An invitation for us to love them as God loves them. Amen.